take a seat. And let's pray for God's help. Father God, thank you that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that you speak to us in all of life's circumstances. Help us now as we look through the next section of caring for one another. Help us to look for ways that we can love one another as we have been loved first by you. In Jesus' name, amen. In my final year at Bible College, my depression wasn't getting any better. So, after some advice for some friends, I went to see a Christian-based counsellor. She sat down with me and asked me why I was there. So naturally, I launched into all of the life circumstances and why things were so hard, all the things that were getting me down. That's why I was there. She took one moment and then responded like this. "You're not here just because of these things," she said. "You're here because for you, these things bother you. We're going to journey together and think through why these things bother you in this way." In other words, what she was there to do was help me go deeper, beyond life circumstances, to what was driving me, what was informing my reactions. And that is exactly what we're thinking about this morning. Because the heart of the problem might be manifest in circumstance and our response to them, but it's not the whole story. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Last time we were in this series, we were exploring chapters 1 and 2 of the book called Caring for One Another. If you've not got hold of a copy, please do grab one from the office. If you were here, you'll remember we saw what it means to be a church and what it means to belong to a church. Our calling as Poynton Parish is to care for one another's souls. Belonging to church means belonging to one another. Loving one another in self-giving and other person-centered ways. Because that is the love our triune God has for us. We saw that in our Galatians reading, didn't we? The Father's the perfect gift giver because he sent his Son, who died to change us from slaves to children. God always makes the first move. That's the story of the Bible. We can't earn our way to God because, and this is key, God is God, I'm not. God is God, I'm not. The foundation for caring for one another is with all humility we move towards others, because that is what God has done for us. We all need care. We all need to step up and step out to be a community committed to caring for one another. So caring for one another means we need to understand the issues that we need care for. And that means getting to know one another. That means getting to know our own hearts. We need to get to know our hearts to see what's going on under the surface. Because what annoys or drives us is a surface expression of a deeper issue. That's the point that Jesus makes in our reading from Mark's Gospel. It is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, are all about cleaning the outside. Cleaning the outside will affect the inside. But that is not how it works. Now, it doesn't take a genius to know that the best way to fail your food hygiene certificate is only cleaning the outside of bowls and cups. Very easy way to fail. I don't speak from experience. Cleaning the inside is what matters. The cleansing we need from God is inside out, not outside in. Because the heart is the rudder of the body. It is the steering wheel. The heart is what drives our responses to the circumstances around us. Now, to throw a Shrek analogy in there, humans are like onions. We have layers, and peeling them back does cause a few tears. Caring for one another involves peeling back layers, and that is uncomfortable. It will make us cry, but it is worth it, because it's the best way of loving each other well. The book summarizes the chapter like this. Know the heart, know the person. Our interest in helping one another pushes us beyond routine conversation and into the realm of the heart. Events and circumstances, of course, matter. We're not saying they haven't got any influence, but we are saying they're not the whole story. So in counseling for me, we talk not just about the fact that I found college a hard environment. We talked about why that particular environment bothered me so much. Why certain actions and certain personality types affected me in certain ways, like getting very wound up by certain people. Whereas there were plenty of other things going around that would really annoy other people, but didn't bother me. The question is why? Events and circumstance might be the presenting issue, but they are not the whole issue. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Jesus is clear. The heart drives everything we do. So we need to get to know our own hearts. And there are layers in our hearts. Those layers are places we might not visit often. There are layers we may never visit at all. In counseling for me, there were layers that I just couldn't unwrap. They were just too painful. So it's quite something, isn't it, to say, this church is my church. It's not just a place we turn up to on a Sunday and we remember one another's name and we know the names of the songs. To committing to a church is committing to exposing our hearts to one another. And that means something. That means we've got to stop pretending that everything's fine when it's not. I need to do that. I'm always pretending everything's fine when it's not. I tell you something, ordination has helped close my heart rather than open it. Because I care too much about what you all think of me. I do. I care too much about what you think of me and what this position is. And I don't think I'm the only one. If I am the only one, great news for the church, but I don't think that's the case. Our heart is the nerve center for what we want. It's the center of our desires. In our heart, we have natural desires. We know we've entered the heart when we start talking about what we want. It's where we store what's important, our affections, our loves, what direction we want our lives to take, what we want for ourselves and for our loved ones. So, of course, we want happiness, don't we? We want peace, we want security, we want prosperity, we want safety, we want health. And God knows that's what we want. God knows our hearts. So we ought to get to know one another's natural desires. And that is very easy to do. All we need to do is just ask, how has your week been? What's been good? Or what's been hard? Because that question goes beyond the superficial, and the answer will tell you what's going on in our hearts. Because what we consider the high and low points of the week show us and one another what we want or what we don't want. They're our natural desires. And underneath that, we have perhaps the slightly murky waters of moral desires. We all have a moral code. And that isn't necessarily something we have thought of ourselves, because all sorts of influences shape our moral code. Our parents or other influential family members will have massive impacts on our moral code, or our education, or where we work, or the people we hang around with, or even the loud voices in our culture. They will shape our moral code. And especially if you're like me, who cares too much about what other people think, your moral code could easily be bent out of shape by a louder voice. As Christians, we want to say that our moral code is influenced, or more importantly, is founded on a person. As Christians, our desires need to flow from what the book calls Godward desires. Godward desires. As Christians, we're not in the business of following a list of do's and don'ts. Most people think that's what the Christian faith is. Maybe some of us do. We are not in the business of following a list of do's and don'ts. We are in the business of relationship. Our relationships are based on the God of relationships. We saw that all the way back at the beginning of this year when we looked at what it means to be human. We love one another because God is love. We have relationships because God is one God in three persons. For Christians, our heart's chief desire is for God's glory, because all of our life is in relation to Him, because God's God and I'm not. And so when I sin, which happens fairly often, my reaction need not be one of a pupil caught out by their teacher, or one of despair. This is my most common reaction. I've done it again. I've crossed the line. God is so cross with me. Am I still forgiven? That goes through my head so many times in one day. It is exhausting being me. So I'll think, right, I'll try not to do that again. But then, of course, I will do that again because I'm a creature of habit. Am I still forgiven? Anxiety building up. That's how my heart works. But the book says this. When we're ashamed, we turn from Him because we believe the lie that He has turned away from us. When I sin, yes, my heart should be grieved. But not because I think God has now deserted me, because God cannot desert me. Instead, I'm grieved at how I've behaved relationally towards God and other people, but I'm reassured that yet again, as we saw last time, He makes the first move. He pursues me. And so as we plumb the depths of our own hearts, we discover something very key. It's not actually what I love that counts, but who? Who I love. Who I love is what matters. And so it's true to say this about ourselves. We are what we love. We are who we love. If the heart is our driver, and the heart is layers of affection and desire based either on God or against something else we've put in His place, then they are what we love. What excites or terrifies us shows who we love. Jesus is clear. What comes out, not what goes in, is what matters. And so, the heart of caring for one another involves open heart surgery. And remember, we're doing this from a position of humility. We are not people with perfect hearts going around trying to expose people with weaker hearts. Our sinful desire may make us think, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You might even be thinking, goodness me, that curate is very insecure. I'm not like that. But that is not what we're doing. We're caring for one another because we need just as much care. Our hearts are just as messed up as one another's. The tricky thing for this church, I think, is we just were too good at hiding it. We look successful. We look secure. It's harder. But we still need to do it. And we do this in response to God, who knows our hearts better than we do. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is something that I need to have stapled in front of my eyes, in front of my ears, in front of my brain, and in front of my heart. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Here's what it says. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. In this open heart surgery, we might uncover layers of discomfort, terror, or fear. We might come away feeling condemned. Or we might come away thinking that if people knew that thing about us, then we would be condemned. I know that there are things my heart has stored that, if you knew them, you would not listen to a word I ever said again. You would drag me away and never let me preach. But, please don't do that, because God knows more. He knows everything about all of us at the same time. He knows how many hairs we have on our heads. Admittedly, for some of us, that's an easy count. But it's not for all of us, is it? I mean, I can't give you an exact number. I just know the number's going down all the time. It's a stressful job. I mean, look at Rob. This is why my wife tells me never to ad lib. God even knows the worst thing about ourselves, even worse than embarrassing your boss like that. And yet, he still loves us. God still loves us despite our foibles, even when you embarrass your boss. God pursues us. And we know he doesn't just push things under the rug because of my other favorite Bible verse. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not Jesus died for us once we started going to church or started changing our life. While we were still sinners. And so we can be encouraged. We can be appropriately honest with one another. Because we are coming from the same position as forgiven sinners. We're coming at it from the same level, and so we can be honest. And so we need some ways forward, don't we? How can we get to know our hearts better? Well, the first one is the easiest. Ask people how they are. And actually listen to their answer. Don't be like a friend of mine who went out, asked someone how they were, got terrified when they said they weren't doing very well, said, "No, you're fine," and ran off. Please don't do that. Ask how you are. What was good this week? What was bad? Why? Follow the emotions and desires to the heart. And don't be paranoid. Don't be paranoid that now, over coffee, it's going to get a little bit intense. Don't worry about that. It's a natural thing of our relationships. We ask how we are all the time. How often do we actually give an honest answer, though? That is my question. Remember, we're doing this in care. We do this so we can enjoy the good things. When you hear good news from one another, encourage one another. Celebrate those things. We need to learn to like each other. We need to learn to fight the niggles of what bugs us about people. Because Jesus didn't let that stop him. See each other as God sees you. Forgiven sinners. Works in progress that will be finally finished. And so, have compassion when there is trouble. If people are honest and humble enough to tell you what's actually going on in their lives, have compassion. We know that suffering is an expected landmark on the Christian journey. Have compassion. Don't worry if you can't think of the right thing to say that will fix the problem. Try not to fix the problem. Taking it from a personal experience, there is nothing more annoying than when you open your heart to someone and they give you a very formulaic list of do this, do that, read your Bible, pray, go to church, and you'll be fine. That's very, very annoying, just to let you know. Just listen. Slow to speak, quick to listen is the thing to do there. And finally, look for where our hearts are taking us. Look for the Godward desires. We're not expecting perfect answers. We're not expecting theological nuance and rambling sermons. We're expecting childlike faith. Look for how God is at work. Give him thanks. Keep one another going. That is what is important. So there is a lot in there, isn't there? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Because I am. But the chapter ends on very encouraging words, so this is what I'm going to close with. We are all saints, sufferers and sinners, who hope to be more transparent with each other. You too will be open about your affections when someone asks. We want to know others and also be known by them.